Hi, this is Tracy Hales Fast with Right on Four Corners on KSJE 90.9 FM in Farmington, New Mexico. Today I am talking with Alana Lee about her book, Starlight Legend. Hi, Alana. Thanks for coming into the studio today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I really did enjoy Starlight Legend. I was so impressed that you wrote this huge book.
It's very huge.
It is. What, like almost 400
almost
pages.
Almost 400.
And lots of characters. And your main protagonist, though, is who?
Is Eliana Reinhart.
Okay.
And Eliana Reinhart represents the teenager who made a mistake in middle school and then kind of just quit taking risks after that because she knew that sometimes it accompanied, I don't know, you have a lot of pain sometimes as a teenager making your mistakes. And so she lives life way too safely. And she decides her senior year that she's going to start taking risks.
Right. Yeah. When she's 18, about to turn 19 is when the story opens.
Yes.
Yes. And, well, it's young adult romance / fantasy. Is that the way you would categorize it? But Eliana is such a real person. She's a really strong character, and you've fleshed her out really well. I was sad to close the book on her.
Really?
Yeah.
So Eliana reminds me of my two younger sisters.
Oh.
They just have beautiful souls. They're the teenager that everybody wishes they could be.
Ah.
And so they helped inspire me to create Eliana.
That's great, because she is someone that everybody should really like.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah. I think this would be a good time to give a little synopsis of the storyline.
Okay. So Eliana lost her parents when she was 3 years old. They were killed in a car accident. And so it's her and her younger sister, Abby, that have been adopted into the Reinhart family. Eliana doesn't find out a whole lot about her background before, because she was 3 when her parents died. But what happens is Eliana celebrates this anniversary of her parents' death, not as a sad thing, but it's when she was saved, and they call it Miracle Day. And so Miracle Day actually begins all these different little miracles that happen in her life. So like I said before, she is a risk-averse teenager. She can't forgive herself for some stupid thing she said in seventh grade, but she really does have such a good heart. And so her goal is to just be a good person. But she doesn't believe that she could be a good person. She hasn't found self-forgiveness yet. And so there's a few plot twists that just throw her into this force where she's either got to step up and be different or just kind of slink away. And she decides to step up.
She has a couple of different love interests going on.
She does. She has one love interest that doesn't go so well and then becomes a new love interest. And then things get complicated from there. And it's not all necessarily about romance. It's about relationship building.
Right.
What I love about her is she's very cautious, even though she's learning to take risks. She's very wise for her age.
She is.
And her goal is to make a difference in the world.
You said relationship. There are several going on in the book. She has a best friend who's a guy. Mm-hmm. She has a really close friend who turns into has difficulty with that relationship. Plus, she's got a bunch of friends that she associates with and goes to school with, and a lot of really good people and that have fun and that really enjoy her. So it really is about a lot of different relationships. Plus the relationship with her parents, her adopted parents.
So she has a very unique relationship with them because they are older. They're about old enough to be her grandparents. So my youngest brother is adopted. He's 17 years younger than me. And I saw that he had different parents than I had. And so they're just more gentle and loving. And I mean, having these two girls come into their home is their absolute dream come true. And so they do maintain a wonderful, loving relationship for those girls.
And Abby's a great little sister.
She is. She's a little feisty.
She is.
But she's feisty because she loves her sister.
Would you like to read something for us from Starlight Legend?
I am going to read from early on in the book. So Eliana has been hanging out with her group of friends over the weekend, and something traumatic happened to Eliana, and she was betrayed by somebody that she trusted, and it really broke her heart. And it was so devastating to her that she couldn't maintain her composure. and she just wanted to get out of that social situation. They were at a park. It's called the Eagle Island Park, and she just wanted out. And she just wished in her mind that something would happen so that she could bail on this group. She hadn't driven herself to the party. It was her best friend, Burke, who drove her. And so when it almost starts raining, the clouds are getting really angry and gray. So they get in the car and she's like, this is my out. But what happens is on the car ride home, she confesses that she's had a crush on him for the past few years. And she feels all awkward and she says really weird things. And so this is the story. She just confessed. And so this is Eliana speaking to Burke. Don't worry about it. You don't have to say anything. But now you know for what it's worth. She turned to the window and let a teardrop fall and quickly swept the traitorous moisture away with her right hand. He reached over and grabbed her left hand, gently squeezing it. Ellie, look at me. He waited for her to look at him while keeping a careful watch on the road. She blinked hard a few times and then turned to look at him. I wish you would have told me sooner. I had no idea. I totally would have taken you to the spring formal. You're my best friend. Ellie breathed shallowly, still not knowing what to say. She loved the touch of his hand on hers and let it rest there for a few minutes until she felt unsure of what the handholding meant. She pretended to adjust her jeans, turned up the radio, and smiled at Burke with a shyness he probably wasn't used to. Thunder boomed so loudly it rattled the car. She looked out the window and saw the gray clouds roiling overhead while the music filled the silence. Are you okay? Burke asked. I'm fine. Can you please take me home, though? I really should get started on my English paper. I'd hate to shame my father's good name by flunking out of English. She made a pathetic attempt at laughing. As if you'd ever flunk any class, why don't you just come hang out with us for a few hours? It won't be the same without you. We might not even laugh, even once. I'll stay by you so you don't feel awkward. Thanks, but I think I'd rather go home if you don't mind. You sure? Burke asked. Yeah, I just need some time to think. I'll be fine, though. Don't worry. She had to play it cool or he wouldn't leave, and she needed to be alone because she was running out of the strength to hold back the tears. You want me to stay with you at your house? No, thanks. I don't think my parents are home just yet, and you know their rule. But I'll be fine, really. I have lots of homework to do. She worried that this moment would change their friendship permanently, that it would never be as comfortable and fun as it was before. The Tahoe turned onto Eliana's street, and Burke pulled slowly into the driveway. Of all the things that Eliana wanted to say to him at that moment, the only thing that passed her lips was, "If you don't want to call me anymore, I'll understand." And she opened the car door, half wishing she hadn't just opened her mouth and said something that stupid. "Nonsense, Ellie. You're still my best friend. You can't get rid of me that easily." She forced a smile and nodded at him. "Thanks for the ride." The gray clouds released their first raindrops as she shut the car door. She was walking up the front path, praying he wouldn't come chasing after her, hoping he would anyways. She opened her front door slightly, made like she was going in, and with tears blinding her view, she waved off Burke. As he drove away, she stepped back onto the porch and shut the front door quietly, and then the rain came down all around her. How fitting, because that's precisely how she felt inside. She walked around the left side of the modest stucco home through the wooden gate, past the strawberry patch, around the tulip garden, and over to the cement patio. But by the time she reached the edge of the patio, the rain was falling even faster. She stopped where she was and looked upward, closed her eyes, and let her own tears mix with the tears from the sky. She reached her arms out to the side in a gesture to question why. Why did her best friend betray her and then lie about it? Why didn't she have the guts to ask Burke to spring formal herself? Why did she have to say such stupid things? Life seemed to be crumbling just when it was supposed to be getting better, and answers seemed non-existent. Her hands fell limply to her side in despair. Staring into the gray sky, she muttered, "It's not raining hard enough. This doesn't even come close to how horrible I feel." As if the sky obeyed her command, the rain came down in giant drops, bending the leaves and grass blades as they hit, splattering on the ground. Throwing her head back, she dared the dark clouds to try a little harder, whispering, "Better, but still not hard enough." A moment later, a flash of lightning zipped through the sky and a thunderous clap polluted the serenity, with water pouring from the sky in a torrent of great dollops that could probably drown a bumblebee. The cool drops splashed against her warm skin and soaked her thoroughly, forming standing puddles on the patio. That was more like it. That was exactly how horrible she felt and how hard she wanted to cry. She wanted to boom like the thunder, which shared the sky with the powerful tears falling forcefully to earth, but she didn't dare yell because she didn't want to freak out the neighbors, no matter how badly her heart hurt. The last thing she needed was to become the laughingstock of the neighborhood, for she already felt like the laughingstock of love. She wrapped her arms around herself and sobbed so hard that her shoulders shook. but she hardly made a sound above the storm. She knelt and bowed her head low, sinking down onto the cool cement. Her insides were aching in a way she had never felt before. She held nothing back, and every painful emotion came dripping out like the flood in her yard. She could not recall a time when it rained so furiously, and thought that this was her rain, having been stored up in a lost corner of the universe for years, and finally sent washing down through the atmosphere. Eliana's wet brown hair clung to her neck and cheeks. She shifted and sat on the patio in the showering rain for a full 20 minutes, letting it clear away the pain and confusion, and the unlikely hope it would make room for something happy. The rain eased up and then ceased entirely almost as quickly as it had started, leaving her drained and waterlogged. She inhaled deeply to take in the clean, after-rain smell and studied the crispness and enhanced color of nature. Rain had a way of making things clearer, more defined. Sometimes tears did the same thing.
Yeah, that broke my heart.
Yes. And that was modeled after an experience I actually had.
Really?
When I was living in Belgium. I don't even remember why it was the worst day in the human existence. It was terrible. It was something that it started out getting bad and it progressively got worse. And in the evening there was this rainstorm and I'm like, go ahead and rain. And I kind of dared it and it rained so hard it filled up my shoes. And I have never been so wet in my entire life without jumping into a pool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very effective to portray her emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Eliana is sort of discovering herself
in a
lot of ways.
I think because she buried who she was for so long, mm-hmm. she has to learn to let that person out again. And it can be painful and it can also be scary.
All these characters have lived with you for a while.
They have.
How long did it take you to write the book?
It was 3 months short of 9 years. I've wanted to write a book since I was a kid. And I kept trying to write a book and there was never enough of a storyline for me to continue with it. So it's been 10 years now since I started writing this book. And it kind of came to me in a flash of ideas. And I wrote them down and the story evolved from my initial idea. And it actually went a different direction than I had planned on.
And there actually are a couple different storylines going on.
There are several different storylines.
Yes, which makes it really intriguing how they're woven together.
Yeah, and I think towards the end, the reader can see why it was essential to have so many storylines going on. Because it culminates into something that's more meaningful.
Absolutely. So where can listeners find your book?
My book is currently only available on Amazon.com.
Okay.
It's print on demand. And I've tried to set the price low enough that I'm not in the red every time I sell a book. But the Kindle version is pretty cheap, and I recommend the Kindle version for anybody who wants to try it. I think you can read the first four chapters for free on Amazon.
Well, once they read the first four chapters, they're going to be hooked.
I hope so.
And you have a web presence at starlightlegend.blogspot.com.
Yes.
Where listeners can go and check out the latest information about the book.
Yeah, and I don't post a lot on that website. Mm-hmm. It does have a list of questions for book club readers, and it has a little poem that I wrote that kind of reminds me of Eliana.
Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah.
So what's your writing process?
My writing process is really, I don't think it's a word, it's spurty.
Okay? I like that word.
It happens, and it usually happens when I'm really frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have this breakthrough of emotions and thoughts, and I just start writing. So the initial concept, I really did not really write it down on a napkin, but I was sitting with my husband in Applebee's I think it was one of the worst snowstorms we've had. So we were sitting in Applebee's, and I'm like, I have this idea. I want to write a book. And I bounced ideas off of him, and I came up with this original concept, and I didn't create an outline, just the concept, and I started writing. But by chapter four, it had evolved into a different storyline than I originally anticipated. And so I let it continue to evolve. And it was probably only the last third that I actually outlined and made plans for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got some great antagonists also.
Mm-hmm, I do. And they're secretly antagonists. Yes.
You don't really know who the bad people are until way later on.
Yeah.
So that's I like the way you've done that so skillfully.
It was meant to be a little bit confusing so that the reader would try to guess all throughout the book.
Exactly.
Who is it?
Exactly. And I know I did that. What's next on your writing?
Well, that's a really good question. So when I published this book last October, I actually included the first chapter of book two that I was going to write, and I included it as a bonus chapter.
I wondered if that was going to be the part, the start of the next book.
Yes.
Because it works like that, and it piqued my interest that way, too.
Yeah, I've had many readers say, you shouldn't have left that bonus chapter in because now you have to write another book.
Well, there you go.
Because I opened things wide up again with that bonus chapter. And do not read the bonus chapter first.
Right.
I have students that say they read the endings first and then read the book. And I don't understand that type of reading.
No.
I think it ruins some of the magic.
I do too. And there is magic in it. I think that's great. Now that you're a full-time English professor, do you still write?
I don't. Unfortunately, I spend so much time grading papers and writing assignment sheets that I don't have a lot of time to write.
I understand that one.
But I write a little bit. It's not towards writing a new novel, but I write poetry. I write children's stories for my girls.
Oh, good.
And I even started writing rap songs.
Oh, good.
And I shared one with my English class a few weeks ago. That was pretty funny because I don't let myself be that vulnerable in class, but I shared my rap with them just to show them that writing can be scary, but we should still share it with
each
other.
There you go. Eliana is a bit of a writer.
Eliana is. And though her adoptive father is a writer, she doesn't really know where that talent comes from, but she still gives him the credit.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not that she thinks she's a wonderful writer. She's driven to write. It helps her process things.
This is set in Star, Idaho. Why?
So I actually lived right next door to Star, Idaho for several years.
So it's a real place.
It's a real place. It's actually the neighboring community to where I lived before I came to New Mexico.
Oh.
And the idea with the Starlight legend, and I knew what Star, Idaho looked like. I'd driven those roads before, and it just seemed the right place for this setting. It needed to be rural.
Right.
It needed to be a place where it wasn't a whole lot of people and pressures. It was just kind of a very homey place for her. And because it's also the birth of the Seeking Realm,
right.
I wanted it to have that feel.
Name of the town, Star.
Star,
I mean, it's
Idaho.
Perfect.
It's a really tiny town.
It feels like it. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody goes to the same drugstore and the same restaurant.
They do. So you see them all over town.
You run into people you might not want to.
That's true. And that even happens in the book.
It does. So have you told your students that you write?
I've mentioned it a little bit. Some of them maybe think I'm kidding or they're not taking me very seriously. But I told my students yesterday, I said, oh, I'm getting interviewed about my book. And they all looked at me. They're like, you wrote a book? And I'm like, I swear I told you guys I wrote a book. And so I tell them, and I also tell them, I know how hard it is to share writing with other people because I've had to do it. And it is very terrifying.
I would think that would be something that could help with teaching.
Yeah.
Because nobody thinks they're good enough.
And everybody thinks that either it comes really easy or you're permanently bad at writing.
Right. They say, oh, it's easy for you. Yeah. But no, it's not.
Yeah, some stories take 10 years.
That's right. Yep. Like this one. Do you want to talk about the Seeking Realm?
So the Seeking Realm is really a metaphor for probably a lot of different things, depending on who the individual is. But the Seeking Realm is a really safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And Eliana has what she calls a dream, but it's actually a sort of implanted memory of being in the Seeking Realm. And that's what drives her to find access. She comes up with some cockamania attempts to get into the Seeking Realm before it finally works. And once she's there, she feels this sense of belonging that is so strong, she can't ever say that she's not coming back. It was so life-changing for her. And she meets two people in the Seeking Realm.
Mm-hmm.
One is the guardian of the portal. His name is Wayne. And then the other one is the matron of her garden. And her name is Rose. And Rose is almost like a grandmother because she is like her aging parents. They treat her differently than maybe a younger person would.
Right.
Because she's very wise. In fact, Eliana can't figure out how old this woman is.
Mm-hmm.
She says it's hard to guess her age. But she asks Eliana to ask questions in the Seeking Realm. And she says, the whole point of this is for you to find answers to the questions that bother you, but you have to learn to ask the right questions.
Right.
And so Eliana sometimes goes and just talks. And sometimes she goes with real questions. And it's not always the answer she wants. But by the end, she can see it's the answer that she needs.
Right. Rose really helps her work through those questions, almost in a Socratic kind of way.
She is magical because she doesn't lecture.
Right.
And teenagers, we've all been lectured before, and
yes,
that's not a favorite thing for teenagers to go
right
through. And so that's why Rose is so important, because she represents a listening ear and a shoulder to cry on, and
yes,
also a wise sage that's willing to help people who are seeking answers.
Did you draw the cover?
I did do the cover.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
I noticed it right off. And then after I read the book, I went, oh, well, that's Orly and that's the tree and
it
all
is.
That.
I chose a simplified cover just to accent that beautiful magical tree,
yes,
and the bird.
I like that.
And once you read the story, you'll understand the tree and the bird.
Exactly.
And then you'll love the cover more than you did the first time you saw it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What happened to me. So folks can find your web presence at starlightlegend.blogspot.com.
And I love to hear from my readers, so they can email
okay
me too. They can find my email address on that website, I believe.
Great.
And it's also at the end of the book, in the print and the Kindle.
Great.
And I would love to hear from my readers.
Okay. Often readers like to ask questions and give their observations,
yeah,
and give you ideas on the next book.
I know. So I have three nieces that are avid writers and readers.
Oh.
They love both of those aspects. And I was almost going to open up this contest and be like, you write and explain how the Seeking Realm was born.
Oh, I like
and
that.
And then the winner gets the presents in the book where I explain how that happens.
Very good.
So I haven't done that yet, but that's my
that's
thought process
idea
that I'd allow people to kind of enter their writing as a contest.
Oh, very good. Then they really become more interactive with the book.
Yeah.
And as you know, that really helps them,
yeah,
and you.
Yeah. I encourage people to write all the time. And in whatever way I can, I encourage people to write.
And you said something about reading and writing. Do you think reading informs writing?
Absolutely.
Are you?
So I'm not a trained writer. I didn't go to school to learn how to write novels. But I have read so many books, and most of them have been nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
But you learn so much about the writing process just from reading.
Right.
And you pick up patterns that are effective, and you can figure out what your own voice is by the things that you read and the
mm-hmm
ones that you like. And you're like, I really like that. And so it helps you develop your own voice. And I think you can't write without having been well read.
I agree.
I would just like to add, the characters in this book represent people that we all have in our lives.
I can see
so
that.
So we will all encounter betrayal, difficult mm-hmm people, best friends, people who we're not sure of. And I think this book really helps us to examine some of those relationships in a really healthy way. Because the goal is to be okay with everyone.
Right.
Everybody does not have to be your best friend.
Right.
But those relationships that are important to you, those are the ones that matter, and those are the ones that you should really work on. And I think Eliana learns the pattern for healthy relationships. I really love this book. I wrote this book for my three daughters.
Oh.
My oldest is 15 right now, so she was pretty little when I started writing this
yes
book. And I wanted her to understand what a healthy relationship is between friends and between romantic interests.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in this age where we're starting to pay a lot more attention to consent, I think we need good models of consent.
I agree. And I really like the way Rose enforces and helps Eliana understand her romances.
Mm-hmm.
And you even call this a clean YA romance,
mm-hmm,
and I love that.
It's very clean because I wanted to be able to read it to a 12-year-old and not have them feel like their childhood was taken away from them
right
or anything. I wanted it to be something that any parent could feel comfortable giving to their child.
Yes.
And I even have nephews that are reading this book with their mom. They're 9 and 6.
Good.
And at night when she's like, what book are we going to read tonight? They always cheer for Starlight Legend. I think it's because they know who wrote it. But they also love the characters.
Yeah, I can see that it would be great for male readers, too.
Oh, absolutely.
And a broad age range.
Yes, yeah, so I actually had several beta readers. I had multiple teenagers, boys and girls, read
mm-hmm
this book. And then I actually had women between the ages of 20 and 40 read it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was not one age group that did not love the book. And I think because it has different levels of engagement and different levels of intellect that are being
right
used,
right,
that it just appeals to a variety of ages.
Thanks so much for coming into the studio, for letting me read your book, and I look forward to the next novel.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been a really neat process to learn how to write a book.
So that was Alana Lee, and this is Tracy Hales-Vass on Right on Four Corners, KSJE 90.9 FM in Farmington, New Mexico.